Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you say with me the title of this morning's message? The One Thing Needed. Based on our gospel from Luke 10 and also a reading from Mark 6, which I'll share right now. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away with Jesus in a boat to a quiet place by themselves. I encourage you to turn your worship folder over and find on it that sermon outline as we consider the one thing needed. The story is told about a pastor with a very bad habit. Let me tell you, pastors have a lot of bad habits. This pastor always kept himself so busy that he never really listened to what people were saying. This was especially true when he made hospital visits. When he saw his church members in hospital rooms, of course, they wanted to talk about their illness. But this pastor was so busy and distracted that he tried to cut the conversation short by not really listening to them and bringing up his own medical history. So one person began to talk about their broken leg. And the pastor said, "Oh yes, I had a broken leg years ago when I was skiing." One member said, "You know, I've been really having some bad headaches." And the pastor said, "You know, I had a headache this morning, took some aspirin, cleared it right up." But one day, he met his match. One day he went to visit a woman member in the hospital who began to tell him the reason for her present hospitalization and what she had gone through. But looking at his watch and wanting to get out of there to another appointment, the pastor said, "Oh, my dear, you know, I had the same trouble a few years ago." But because he had been in this habit of not really listening to what she had to say, he didn't listen when she said she had just had a baby by cesarean section. So the woman turned to her pastor with a smile and said, "Well, tell me, pastor, who was your obstetrician?" Busyness. I'm so busy. How often have you said that or heard somebody else say that? I'm so busy. I'm too busy. How often has busyness prevented us from really listening to somebody else, but especially prevented us from listening to God? It's been said that busyness is the disease of our time. Is busyness a badge of honor, or is it a symptom of a problem? How are you? "Oh, I'm so busy." This response almost seems to be worn by many as a badge of honor or self-importance. "I'm so busy." But I wonder, could this also be a sign of a spiritual problem? Let's look at the apostles in Mark chapter 6. They had been busy preaching and healing and spreading the gospel. Verse 31 of Mark 6 says, "For many were coming and going, and the disciples didn't even have leisure even to eat." And what did Jesus do? He did not give them another task. He did give them a loving invitation. He said to them, "Boys, come away with me to a quiet place." It was time to set aside all those things that absolutely filled their lives, even though they were good things. Once there in a quiet place with Jesus, he gave them exactly what they needed. He gave them rest. He gave them his care. And he taught them from God's holy word. He gave them rest. They were able to set aside for a moment their to-do lists, their schedules, their busy demands. He gave them care. We can almost hear him saying to them, "Come unto me, you who are heavy laden and burdened and busy, and let me give you rest." He gave them teaching. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I wonder what our Lord Jesus taught them about. Could it have been finding rest and strength in the arms of their Heavenly Father? and not living their life as if everything in this world depended on them. Are you listening? Not living like everything in this world depended upon them. Could you use the same things today, rest and care and God's teaching? Of course we could. Because far too often, we're busy with so many things, running up and down, turning around and around here. It was a silly game, but it describes us too often. We're busy with many things, but we don't pause to ask what is really important and necessary. What is that one thing needed? Will we take a deep breath? Will we slow down and pause long enough to discover it? Why? Because we need to ask ourselves today, is busy really better? What is being taught to our children, to our grandchildren? Are we trading for them the simple joys of childhood? For responsibilities, for packed calendars, for ulcers? Unless you think that this disease of busyness only affects young families, look at your own lives. Is busy really better? In 35 years of ministry, I have never spoken to a person on their deathbed and had them look up to me and say, Pastor, I wish I could have just gone to one more business meeting at work. I wish I could have squeezed one more event into our family calendar on Saturday. No one's ever said that to me. When this service is over, after I grab a little lunch that I packed, I'm going to Richmond General Hospital to palliative care. That's where our dear brother in Christ, Harold Boucher, now is. As we've been meeting and talking once a week, he has never said to me, I wish I could have done one more thing. I wish I could have been more busy. What is the one thing needful? Will we pause? Discover it and take advantage of it before we can't pause anymore. There's another biblical story in Scripture that deals with exactly the same issue. It's the gospel reading for today from Luke 10. Listen to these words again. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations she had to make. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work myself? Tell her to help me. You know the answer she was expecting. But Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. We see here that Mary sat at Jesus' feet. This is a biblical expression that means to act as a student, to respect and honor a teacher, to receive from that teacher God's wisdom and guidance. Mary had made Jesus' chair a pulpit, her place at his feet a church pew, and her home, a church sanctuary. But Sister Martha was too busy. It's not in my script. You could read it. These words I'm going to say now aren't even here. One thing that pains me more than anything else in our modern world today, and it's in our congregation as well, when I hear members, when I hear young families, when I hear groups of folks in our church say, you know, Lord, Pastor, I know we need to be in God's house for worship. I'd like to have the kids in Sunday school, but you know what? We're too busy. So many things. Go with me in the visit I'm making in about an hour. We'll talk about things that are really important. And it's not the things that consume our lives so much. Busy isn't better. Martha was too busy. Verse 40 says she was distracted by many things. She had to clean the house, prepare the meal, get everything ready because Jesus was coming to her house. Now, give her a break. Gretchen, if Jesus were coming to your house for lunch, you'd get things ready, wouldn't you? You'd have your scones all ready for him, wouldn't you? You see, these were not bad things Martha was busy about, not at all. But the point is, they got in the way of being at Jesus' feet. And she was upset that Mary said no to her busyness so she could choose what was more important. Now ask yourself this question, Martha, 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 and Martha. Ask yourself this question. What are the things in your lives that are getting in the way of you and maybe your family sitting at Jesus' feet? I saw a newspaper cartoon once a few years ago. The cartoon strip was called The Small Society. This cartoon aims its humor at exposing the realities of our modern life. One such cartoon depicted a father and a son talk. The teenage boy is slouched down into the chair of the living room looking very dejected. And here's what his father says to him, "Son, of course, we all want a purpose in life, but I promise you after a while you'll be so busy working and making a living, you won't even have time to think about it." Dear friends, today's message is a call to join the apostles and accept Jesus' offer to go away with him to a quiet place. Will your quiet place be a personal or family time of prayer? Will your quiet place be a personal or family time of Bible reading? Maybe even from a devotional like Portals of Prayer. A new shipment of these comes to our congregation every 3 months. You can pick one up even this morning right behind the final pew where Lynn and Ken are sitting this morning. They're also put in a box by your mailboxes for you. Why? Because these things in our household too. And my wife is good at this, to say, "Come away with me to a quiet place. Let's hear what God's word has to say for us today. Let's let our Lord take care of us before we dedicate our whole day taking care of others." But your quiet place at Jesus' feet can also be faithful and consistent attendance at his house of worship, to hear the sermon, to be in Bible class. What a wonderful place to sit at Jesus' feet so that he can give you his holy word and what you really need in your life. My prayer for each of you is this, that being in the house of the Lord on Sunday and sitting at Jesus' feet is not just one of many options you can choose from, but it's the most important thing in your life. By the way, did you know the Hebrew word Sabbath actually means rest? How about that? Maybe your quiet place will be a personal time of prayer and inviting God to speak to your heart. This can be at your home or a special place you've located. But it means it's a place you're away from the television, away from the cell phone, away from the computer. You're in a quiet place, just you and your Lord, so he can speak to your heart. I have a quiet place. A few of you know where that is. A 3-minute walk out of the back door of our home is the Fraser River and a dike. On that dike is a special bench that overlooks the river. That's my quiet place, where I go alone to be with my Lord, to pray for so many of you, to pray for my family and think through the issues of the day. I need that quiet place. And so do you. Now, it's very possible for us to combine these things, family devotions, Sunday worship, and a personal private place for you and your Lord. More than one quiet time at Jesus' feet is just great. And don't you ever listen to the lies of the devil, who even now is whispering in your ear, but you don't have time for a quiet place with Jesus because, remember, you're so busy. When we join Sister Mary and the apostles at Jesus' feet in that quiet place, we will discover the one thing needed. Jesus said to Martha, "You're busy with many things, but only one thing is needed." It's the one thing Jesus gave to his apostles in the Mark 6 reading. There we hear Jesus saying to these men he loves so dearly, "Boys, I know you're tired and hassled. Come away with me to a quiet place and let me take care of you." It's the one thing that Mary had that Martha missed from the reading of Luke 10. Because Martha's motto was, "Don't just sit there, do something." But Jesus' invitation was just the opposite. Don't just keep doing something. Sit here. It's the one thing you and I cannot live without as we learn that busy really is not better. It's the only thing that can take us from the terrible busyness of this short life to the timeless eternity of glory in heaven. What is it? The one thing needed is the true rest that we receive as a gift from our Lord Jesus Christ. A Bible study of the concept of true rest reveals four main ideas. Look at your sermon outline. These four are listed right in front of you. I want you to take this home with you today. True rest, according to Scripture, number one is this: simply being in the presence of Almighty God gives us rest. Jesus Christ is Almighty God who has come to us in human flesh and who continues to come to us. He comes to us through His Word. He comes to us through His sacrament. He comes to us through the fellowship of the saints. He comes to us in our time of prayer, and He comes to give us rest. In His presence is rest. Secondly, God's rest brings peace to us from our enemies. Jesus is the number one answer to our number one enemy, the devil, and all of his lies that tells us busy has to be better. Being in Jesus' presence can shut the mouth of that liar. Thirdly, God's rest means that our sins are taken away. Look at our Savior upon that cross, would you, above the altar? Jesus' death on the cross for your sins has lifted sin's burdens from your shoulders. You don't need to carry them anymore. Finally, God's rest is that eternal rest in heaven. Jesus' resurrection from the grave on Easter Sunday has opened the doors to heaven to all who trust in Him. Look at 1 through 4. What is this one thing needed? It's God's rest. Look at Him again. Being in God's presence gives us rest. God's rest brings peace from our enemies. God's rest means the burden of our sin has been lifted on our shoulders. God's rest finally means that eternal rest in heaven. We're at the end of our sermon right now, if you're following your outline, if you're checking your clock. There was a woman, she's now sainted and in heaven, but her name was Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby wrote, if you can believe it or not, she wrote over 8,000 gospel hymns and songs in her lifetime. She wrote well-known hymns like "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine," and also To God be the glory, great things he has done, and many more. What's amazing is she wrote these 8,000 gospel songs and hymns, though she was blind her entire life. One well-meaning pastor once said to her in a home visit, "Fanny, you know that it's really a shame that God did not give you the gift of sight when he gave you so many other blessings." And she said, "Pastor, you know what? If I had one wish when I was born, it would be that I was born blind." And the pastor said, "Why?" She said, "Two reasons." Listen to these reasons. She said, "Since my earthly eyes don't work, they can't be distracted by all those things that seem to keep other people so, so busy. It's like having a holy blindness that makes me focus on what's really important." And reason number two, Pastor, is this. When I get to heaven, the first sight that shall ever gladden my eyes is the face of my Savior, Jesus, who died and rose for me. Dear Lord, today we ask you to blind our eyes to things that really aren't important and open our hearts to accept your invitation, O Lord, to join Mary sitting at your feet, to join the apostles, to come away with you to a quiet place. My friends, this is indeed the one thing needed. In Jesus' name, amen.